flown, I have sailed. I have moved about this world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
And you are listening to Radio Masterpieces on Valley 103.1, serving Duval, Carnation, and Redmond Ridge.
Your name?
Fresh. I don't talk to strangers.
Oh, I'm no stranger. Been waiting every evening for you to walk by.
Keep waiting. I'm still walking.
Oh, what's your name?
None of your business.
Pretty name. But I'll just call you Linda.
Well, how did you guess?
When I go to sleep, I never count sheep. I count all the charms about Linda. And lately it seems, in all of my dreams, I walk with my arms about Linda. But what good does it do me? For Linda doesn't know I exist. Can't help feeling gloomy. Think of all the loving I have missed. We pass on the street, my heart skips a beat. I say to myself, hello, Linda. If only she'd smile, I'd stop her a while, and then I would get to know Linda. But miracles still happen, and when my lucky star begins to shine, with one lucky break, I'll make Linda mine.
This is where I live.
Well, could I see you again sometime?
Maybe.
How about Saturday night?
Well...
Shall I pick you up at 8?
Okay.
Oh, boy, that's a date.
Bye now.
So miracles do happen, and now my lucky stars begin to shine. With one lucky break, I'll make Linda mine.
This is Bruce Kaplan welcoming you back to another episode of Radio Masterpieces. Tonight we're going to have two wonderful thrillers with supernatural themes. Our first program was later used on the TV show The Twilight Zone. It is really a creative story about a ventriloquist. The second show is about a scientist trying to create life from just plain chemicals. It's my understanding that scientists today are working on this, and it's not just science fiction anymore. I really want to know what you, the audience, wish to hear. Please write to me at bruce@radiomasterpieces.com and give me your thoughts. They'll sure be appreciated. Well, now it's time to turn back the clock and nostalgically listen to the greatest radio shows of yesterday. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Tonight's Inner Sanctum Mystery, The Deadly Dummy, stars Mason Adams in the role of Steve with Elspeth Eric as Claire.
This is what happened to a guy named Steve Pearson.
Why do you keep asking me the question? Why don't you ask Marlowe? Ask him and see everything.
I told you before, Pearson, Marlowe isn't here.
He is. He's in this room sitting right there in that chair.
That's just a ventriloquist dummy in the chair. You told me yourself Marlowe is dead.
You don't understand. That dummy is Marlowe. I can prove it to you. That dummy is alive, real.
All right. So he's alive.
You think I'm crazy.
Go ahead, Pearson. Let's hear the story, all of it, from the beginning.
It began when I went to work as Marlowe's assistant. He was billed as the great Marlowe. The great Marlowe. His audiences always thought he was a wonder. But they didn't know him like I did. You couldn't please him no matter how hard you tried. There wasn't a meaner man alive than Fred Marlowe. I would have quit him right at the start if it hadn't been for Claire. I only stayed because of her. Claire, she was warm and wonderful. And she was Marlowe's wife.
Ah, Steve.
Claire, you gotta come away with me.
Wouldn't do any good, Steve. He'd follow us wherever we went. You know him. He'd make our lives miserable.
Well, we can't go on this way. How much of this can we stand?
We don't have to go on this way.
What do you mean?
If you really love me...
Claire, we couldn't do a thing like that.
You hate him as much as I do.
But doing a thing like that...
It isn't hard when you really hate. When you really love...
Somebody will find out. They always find
out. Not the way I've planned it. Brown glass. Now drink it.
But how? He'll know.
No, he'll never suspect. It'll be during his act.
What?
That part where he drinks the water while the dummy whistles. You handle his props. All you have to do is put the powdered glass into the water pitcher before he goes on.
He'll pour the drink himself.
Yes. After he goes off, you can wash out the pitcher and the glass. There'll be no evidence. You do it, Steve?
When?
He's giving his last performance at the Lido on Tuesday.
Tuesday.
It'll be Marlowe's last performance anywhere.
I'm on next. Everything set, Steve?
Yes, Mr. Marlowe, everything is set.
You made sure of the water in the pitcher. Last night you almost forgot about that.
It's in there now. I made doubly sure this time.
All right, Petey, let's go.
You're ready, Marlowe.
Claire?
Yes, Fred?
My last performance here. Aren't you coming out to watch?
I'll be along in a moment.
I wouldn't want you to miss it. We're going to be really great tonight. Aren't we, Petey?
You said it, Marlowe. Tonight, we're going to knock 'em dead.
Claire and I stood in the wings while Marlowe went through his act. It seemed like ages. Like he'd never get to the part we waited for.
That's what I want to say to you.
And then finally...
Petey, talking about drinking... I'm a little thirsty myself.
That was the cue. Now he was coming to it.
No, you won't join me?
No, never touch the stuff. You go right ahead, Marlowe. I'll entertain the folks with a number while you dampen your tonsils.
Okay, Petey. Take over.
The water in the glass slowly emptied. A silent scream shook in my throat. Suddenly, I didn't want it to die. Hating a man wasn't enough reason for killing him. I wanted to stop him. The scream in my throat begged for release. And then I felt Claire's hand grip mine. I turned to her. Her smile smothered the cry within me. Her hand tightened and pulled, and we walked away from the stage.
Pearson! The doctor!
I sent your wife for one, Marlowe.
The pain, it feels like there's a fire inside me.
It won't bother you for long.
Fire burning, cutting into me. Pearson, I'm dying.
Yes, Marlowe, you're dying.
And Pearson, help me.
Nothing can help you now.
Don't die. The doctor will save me. He won't let me.
There won't be any doctor.
What?
Claire didn't go for one.
Claire, she wants me to die. She hates me. You and Claire, you both hate me. You did this to me.
When you drank that water back at the Lido tonight, there was ground glass in it.
No.
Ground glass so finely powdered you couldn't see or feel it.
Petey.
A dummy can't help you, Marlowe.
Petey, I'm dying. Help me.
What? Well, Marlowe, you're just a ham at heart.
What?
A real ham. Don't you think so, Steve?
What is it?
Oh, that deathbed scene of Marlowe's. Right off the cob.
I thought it was quite good, Steve.
Strictly amateur night. Strictly.
Marlowe, you're all right.
You see, BD? I had Pearson believe
it. But it can't be. You drank that water. I saw you.
Yes, I drank that water.
But you're all right. It's not possible.
Marlowe, you're killing our friend Steve with suspense. Come on, give him a break.
Of course. Here you are, Pearson. Here's your ground glass.
Marlo had known we were up to something. Somehow he had switched the container of ground glass I had bought. He let me leave his hotel room without another word. I didn't know what to do, what to expect. I waited. 3 days went by. Then he sent for me.
Sit down, Pearson. I'll be with you in a minute.
Marlo was busy packing a trunk. I sat there waiting. The dummy, Petey, was propped up on the table, his perpetual grin mocking my fear.
Our friend looks kind of uncomfortable, Marlo.
Really, Petey?
Why did you send for me, Marlo?
Tara and I are sailing for South America tonight. I suppose you're curious as to what I'm going to do about you.
All right. What are you going to do?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
I just wanted to tell you about Claire, Steve. She's poison.
Petey never did like Claire.
Marlowe's a sucker for that name. Yeah, I guess she never told you that she tried to have Marlowe knocked off before. There was another guy, had the job before you. Claire fed him the same lie.
She's lying, Marlowe.
Why don't you ask her? She'll be back soon.
Claire wants Marlowe's money, but not Marlowe. Yeah, she was just using you.
Shut up.
She'd give you the go-by so fast.
Shut up, I said.
You're out of her class. She wouldn't want you in a million...
Oh, this will shut you up! I'll break you into a million pieces!
You're a fool, Biz. You forget, there are other Petys. After all, they're only me. Remember? So you see, the only sure way to shut them up is to stop me.
Marlo taunted me with a sickening laughter. I couldn't stand it. I had to stop her some way. I felt along the table behind me. My hand came across the heavy glass ashtray. I gripped it tightly, then brought it up from behind. He slumped to the floor. The grin was still on his face. I bent down over him. He was breathing. I hit him again. Marlo was dead.
You shouldn't have done that, Steve.
It was the dummy talking. I heard him. He lay on the floor. I had crushed him into 100 pieces. But they were his words, his voice.
You can't get away with murder. You'll see, Steve.
Claire, I tell you, that dummy did talk.
Steve, it couldn't be.
When I heard him, he talked to me, Claire. He talked
Steve,
to me.
Steve, get hold of yourself. It was just in your mind, that's all. You shouldn't have done it. If you'd only waited, we would have found a safe way. Someone's at the door.
We can't open it.
Got to.
His body on the floor, they'll see.
Here, help me.
What are you going to do?
Put him in the trunk. Come on, hurry. Oh. All right. Now close the top and lock it. You stay here, I'll go to the door.
Marlo's room?
Yes.
I come for the trunk, lady.
Oh, there must be some mistake.
Well, that's a trunk, ain't it? That's what I come for.
Mrs. Marlowe said you're mistaken.
Look, mister, I got an order here. See? One trunk, number 3468. That's the number on the tag of this here trunk.
Now listen.
The order says this trunk goes to stateroom 3D on the Tregania. That's what it says. Tregania sails tonight. Now, do I take this here trunk or don't I?
Yes, yes. I'm sorry. That was our mistake.
But, Claire.
Please, take the trunk.
Okay, lady. Hey, what are you got in this here trunk anyway? A dead body?
What do you mean by that?
Forget it, missus. It's just a K. How about one of you two hold the door?
Yes, I'll do it for you.
Thanks,
miss. Claire, what's wrong with you? Why did you let him take it?
Don't you see, Steve?
See what?
This is the way out for us. His body won't be found here, and we're safe. Now he's gone forever. Nobody will ever know.
No one? What about me?
Claire.
Tell her about me, Steve.
It's him. Now you can believe me.
Steve, what's wrong?
The dummy, you heard him.
Just your nerves,
no,
darling.
No, we spoke.
That's right, Steve. You tell her.
There he is again.
Steve, where are you going?
I've got to find that dummy. He's someplace in this room.
Hello, Steve. Looking for me?
The dummy was propped up against the closet wall. He looked at me with the same evil grin as the one I had crushed to pieces.
Steve, please stop staring that way.
I'll burn him, every rotten fiber of him. I'll burn him to an ash. Then he'll never talk again.
Steve, believe me, he didn't talk. It's just your imagination.
I'm not crazy. I heard him. So did you. Only you're too afraid to admit it.
He couldn't talk without Marlo. Marlo would have to be alive for that dummy to speak.
What? What'd you say?
Marlowe would have to be alive. You know that.
Yes, that's right. What's the matter with me? Yes, he would have to be alive.
He was just your imagination.
Then Marlowe isn't dead.
Oh, now, Steve, please.
He wasn't dead when you put him into the trunk. He just wanted us to think
Steve.
He was. I didn't kill him. He wasn't dead. That's why the dummy talked. Marlowe could do tricks like that. Come on, Claire. We've got to hurry.
No, wait,
we've got to get there fast.
Claire, Steve, what are you talking about?
Marlowe's stateroom on the boat. He'll be there in the trunk. I've got to make sure he's dead. On this deck, Claire.
3D, there it is.
There's the trunk in the corner over there. Give me the key.
Oh, Steve, we shouldn't have come here.
I said, give me the key.
No, Steve, please don't open it. He is dead in there. I know.
Give it to me. I grabbed it first and took out the key. I unlocked the trunk. I pulled up the lid. Marlowe was in there, motionless. When I touched him, he was cold. Marlowe was dead, all right. But there was something else in the trunk with him. At his feet. And the same grin was on his wooden face.
Hello, Steve. I knew you'd come. I was waiting for you.
Claire!
Here, Steve, drink this.
Oh, I don't know what happened to me. Everything went black.
You fainted.
You were right. Marlowe is dead. But that dummy, I heard him speak.
You know, Steve, it's just as I told you. You only heard it in your mind. He didn't really talk.
Oh, Claire.
Well, those things happen, and now it's over, and you'll never hear it again. Can you get out?
Yeah, I'm all right now.
We've got to get off this boat before somebody sees us.
I ruined everything.
No, we're still safe. Nobody knows we came here.
You go first. That'll be the best way. I'll follow in a moment.
Yes, I'll meet you on the pier.
All right. How you doing?
Oh,
sorry to give you such a jolt. My name is Higginsman. I'm your steward. Just stop by so we'd know each other. Time was against us. We were too late in getting out of that stateroom. That steward would remember Claire.
Steve, what are we going to do?
There was only one chance. With Marlowe's body in that trunk, there was only one thing we could do. I had Claire ring for the steward. Yes, ma'am?
Mr. Marlowe and I have decided to cancel our trip.
But,
would you please have the porters come for our trunk and take it to the pier?
Well, I'm sorry, Mrs. Marlowe, but that won't be possible.
What?
Well, in the excitement, ma'am, you probably didn't notice.
Notice? What are you talking about?
Our departure. We sailed 20 minutes ago. We had walked into a trap of our own making. A trap that was snapped closed on us by a dead man. Marlowe was a cold corpse in that trunk, but we were held by his invisible grip.
There's still a chance we can get out of this.
You mean if his body isn't found in that trunk?
We'll arrange it so his body will never be found. We'll do it tonight when the deck outside is dark and deserted. You'll see, Steve. We'll be really rid of Marlowe this time. You'll see.
We got our first break. Early in the evening, a storm came up and grew worse with the passing hours. About 11 o'clock, I made a careful check of the promenade deck outside the stateroom. It was completely deserted. We supported Marlowe's body between us and carried it toward the darkened space at the end of the deck.
In the morning, I'll report my husband is missing.
And I'll ask a lot of questions.
I'll have all the answers, the way we planned them. Tell him how he often gets up at night to go for a walk.
And the dizzy spells.
Yes. Another of his dizzy spells. That's how it must have happened. Another terrible dizzy spell. It fell overboard. Meantime, Steve, you'll have to hide.
I found a place in one of the lifeboats.
We'll meet every night.
Wait.
What is it?
I thought I saw somebody down that way.
I don't see anyone.
It was probably just a shadow. Come on, let's get this over with. You can help me lift him to the rail.
Yes.
All right. Now, push.
Gone, Steve.
Yes, Claire, that's the end of Marlowe. Now we can live, really live.
Will you kiss me, Steve?
Will I kiss you? Come here.
Oh, Steve. Oh. I beg your pardon.
Oh. I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm looking for someone. I thought he might be with you.
There was no one with us.
No, we're alone.
I see. I thought I saw three people walk over here.
No.
It's so dark, I must have been mistaken.
Yes, it is dark.
The man I'm looking for is Mr. Marlowe.
What?
You happen to know him?
My name is Marlowe.
Then you're the gentleman I'm looking for. My name is Ralph Kramer, Mr. Marlowe.
Kramer.
Are you all right, Mr. Marlowe?
Yes, I'm fine. Why?
I just wanted to be sure. By the way, I received your letter. letter. Don't you remember?
No, not exactly.
Oh, I can understand. You're a busy man, Mr. Marlowe. Well, just to refresh your memory, I'm in charge of entertainment here on the boat. I found out last week that you had booked passage. So I wrote to you asking you to consent to be one of the features in our theatrical tomorrow night.
And I replied?
You were very kind, Mr. Marlowe. You said yes. I just thought I'd thank you and say that we're all looking forward to your performance tomorrow evening.
Got to keep trying. There isn't much time left.
It won't work, Claire.
Well, it will. You know Marlowe's act. You've understudied him. You went on for him in Cleveland, remember?
I know, but I can't do it now. I can't get it.
It'll come to you, darling. Now just keep trying. Go on, Steve. Please, try again.
All right. Tell me, Petey, don't you and your girlfriend Phoebe ever have a difference of opinion?
Sure, Marlowe, but I wouldn't dare tell her about it.
You see, Claire, it's no good.
And you're doing fine.
Don't tell me. I know it's rotten. Tell him I'm not going on.
Steve, it means our lives. You've got to go through with it.
Sure. You can do it, Steve. I'll see you through.
Claire.
What's wrong? What is it?
The dummy just talked, and I didn't do it. He said, you can do it, Steve. I'll see you through. You heard him, didn't you?
No.
Don't let her kid you, Steve.
Harry said something again. You didn't hear that either.
Oh, no, Steve, don't. You'd better pull yourself together.
Dame can really play angles, can't she, friend?
Yes, she really can.
Who are you talking to?
You know who I'm talking to. You know all about it.
Go ahead, Steve. You tell
her. You're making a dummy talk, Claire. It was you all the time.
You don't know what you're saying.
You're trying to drive me crazy. That's why you're doing it. Now I know what Marlowe said about you was true. You were just using it.
No, Steve.
You wanted Marlowe dead. You wanted his money, just as he said you were playing me for a sucker.
Steve, don't look at me that way.
Now I can see you for the first time. What you're really
don't
are.
Don't you come near me.
You are the same evil grin as that dummy. Because that's what you are, something inhuman.
No, stay away.
Something mean and vicious and bad.
Steve.
Ah!
Steve.
My hands gripped my throat. I squeezed tighter and tighter. My nails digging deep into the soft flesh. The color slowly drained out of her face. There was a final gasp, and then she stopped moving. She was like a rag doll in my hands. I stood there holding her lifeless body. Then after a while, I heard a knock on the door.
Miss Marlowe! Miss Marlowe, it's Ralph Kramer!
Mr. Kramer? What is it?
The show's started. You're on in 5 minutes.
All right, Kramer. I'll be there.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we take extreme pleasure in presenting the great Marlowe.
I sat there with a dummy on my knee and looked out on into the sea of faces. All the men had the same face. It was Marlowe's. The women were Claire. I tried not to look at them.
Come on, Steve.
The dummy whispered to me.
Come on. I told you I'd see you through. Let's go.
Petey, I want you to meet the folks.
Hiya, folks. By the way, Steve.
You fool, it's Marlowe. Marlowe.
Who was that lady I saw you with last night?
That was no lady. That was...
Now, you're not going to tell me it was your wife. Because I know whose wife she was.
Stop it.
Sort of a deadhead, isn't she, Steve?
I told you not to call me Steve. You'll give it away.
I warned you about that dame, remember? I told you she was playing you for a sucker.
Stop talking about her. We've got to get back on the routine.
The routine, yeah. That's what she gave you.
Cut her out.
Cut it out, hey, with ground glass.
If you don't stop, so help me, I'll choke you.
How do you like this guy, folks? He wants to choke me and cut his best part off.
I'm warning you, just one more wrong word.
Please, it won't kill you, folks. Wait till you hear the story I'm going to tell you. Oh. And it's no joke. You think this is Marlowe here, huh?
Don't listen to him. He's lying.
You can't stop me now. It's too late, Steve.
Don't listen to him, please. He doesn't know what he's saying. He's going to tell you lies. He's going to tell you I'm a murderer, but don't believe him. Make him stop laughing. Get him out of here. Somebody make him stop, please. That's it, Inspector. The whole story of what happened. It was all because of the dummy on that chair there.
You give us a lawyer's name and we'll call it.
I don't think a lawyer would do me much good now.
That's up to you, Pearson.
I'll think it over.
Okay, Roberts, take him downstairs.
I don't suppose you'll need me any longer, Inspector?
Just one question, Kramer.
What's that?
What did you hear the dummy say that night when Pearson tried to go through with Marlowe's act?
Oh, the dummy didn't say a word. Pearson was up there on the stage talking to himself.
Come away with me, Lucille, in my merry old mobile.
Down the road of life we'll fly, awesome old bubbling, you and I.
And to the church we'll swiftly steal, then our wedding bells will peal.
You can go as far as you like with me
in my merry old mobile. If you want to see a car that's really full of sex appeal,
if you please,
come out riding in my jazzy, jazzy old mobile.
Oh, you kid.
And if I just feel like you, tell me that you won't be busted.
Don't get too big for your goggles and you're in the duster buster.
On the menu of romance, you are my very favorite course.
Oh, skidoo, with that corny line of yours, you really ought to get a horse.
No, it's too. How'd you like the pretty wedding ring?
Well, now, that's a very different thing.
In my merry old mobile.
What a happy pair without a single care.
Merry old mobile.
What a grand machine, a double peachy keen.
Merry old mobile.
It's hydromatic, just like you.
What do you mean?
Why, the car is shiftless, too.
There's no clutch.
Well, what about me?
Ah, when I park, both hands will be free.
And not for long.
What a body. It's all streamlined.
Thank you.
With a little spare tire behind. Hand in glove down the road of love in my merry old mo.
L-O-V-E.
In my merry old mo.
O-U-Q-T.
In our merry old mo.
Valley 103.1.
My story begins in a rambling old house deep in the woods. In a homemade laboratory, gray-haired Professor Jonathan Davis is peering eagerly into a large glass container that holds an odd, transparent, jelly-like substance.
Ellen! Oh, Ellen!
Yes, dear?
Ellen, come quick.
I'm coming, dear. What is it?
Ellen, look. I think I succeeded at last.
Oh, yes.
You look. Your eyes are better than mine. Yes, isn't there movement in the protoplasm this time? Isn't it stirring? Just a little?
No, dear. There isn't any movement.
No? You're positive, Ellen? I was sure I saw some sign of life.
I'm quite positive, dear. Now, please, won't you admit that what you're trying to do is impossible?
No, Ellen. No, I will succeed. I know it. Now, come, we've got to try another feeding with you. If you hand me the saline solution and dextrose, and I'll begin again.
But while Professor Davis labored in his lonely seclusion to make a lifelong dream come true, something that was to affect him vitally was happening in the editorial room of the largest newspaper in the nearby city.
City desk, Benson speaking. Oh, hello, Mr. McGuire. Yes? Well, yes, sure, I've been reading Dan Duncan's special features. I edit them. I see. You don't think they've been colorful enough lately, huh? Well, to tell the truth, I agree with you. I've been meaning to speak to him about it. Yes. Sure, I'll do it now. He just came in. Right. Right. Good night, Miss McGuire. Hey, Dan.
Yeah, Joe. What cook?
The big boss just phoned down.
What's he want?
Well, frankly, he thinks you're slipping.
McGuire thinks I'm slipping. Well, I like that.
That's what he said.
And I've done everything to get hot material except to go out and commit a murder myself.
Well, maybe he's tired of murders. You want to know why you don't turn up something like that haunted house story you did last spring?
Why, I don't. That was a good story, wasn't it?
It was honey.
Yeah. Especially the description of the way the ghost of the drowned girl walked around the house, leaving wet spots where it stepped. You know, I caught a heck of a cold walking around in wet socks to make those footmarks.
No more than you deserve for faking your story.
Yeah, faking a story. Listen, Benson, any time a million readers believe a story, it's true. And they believed in that ghost. Every one of them.
I'm not saying they didn't, but McGuire wants another story just as good.
I got a good mind to tell the old buzzard to fly a kite. Another story like... Hey.
Huh? What is it?
I think I got it.
Hey, Ted. Ted Jones.
Oh, yeah, Dan.
Front and center.
Oh. Yeah, what is it, Dan?
All right, dump your camera on the desk and sit.
Okay.
Now, tell me, what was that story you told me last week about some professor living up in the woods back at town, never coming out of his private lab?
Oh, you mean Professor Davis?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. Well, what about him?
There was a fuss over something he said in a lecture one day, wasn't there?
A fuss? Well, it was more like an explosion.
Hey, wait a minute. I remember that case. Professor claimed he could create an artificial man, wasn't that it?
No. He said that an artificial man might be produced someday. Might be.
Well, the paper said he claimed he could create one.
Yeah, I know.
Well, it made a good story, didn't it?
And drove Professor Davis out of the university into retirement. Oh, the school didn't like the publicity.
Water under the bridge, kid. Anyway, here's the old professor working away secretly for the last 5 years. All alone?
No, he wasn't all alone. His daughter Ellen's with him.
How old is she?
Oh, she was 15 then, so...
She's 20 now. Good looking?
Well, I was in Professor Davis's class. I remember as a skinny brat with yellow hair.
Yeah, good, a blonde. So here's the prof secretly working with his beautiful blonde daughter at what?
All right.
What? Why, he's trying to prove he was right. He's trying to create an artificial man.
Say, you've got something there.
Oh, now, wait a minute. You don't know Professor Davis is trying to create artificial life.
Well, we soon will.
You know where his hideout is, don't you?
Yeah.
All right, then grab your camera. Let's get going.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Dan. Suppose you find Professor Davis is...
Forget it. Benson, save me 2 columns. Come on, Ted. We're on our way.
There, Ellen. It's done. Now we must warm it ever so gently. It'll stay at blood heat until morning. And then, Ellen...
Oh, I hope so, Dad, but... Darling, if you fail again, won't you please promise me to stop trying to create this artificial protoplasm?
Well, we'll talk about that in the morning. Now, who could that be?
I'll go see, Dad. Yes?
I'm Ted Jones, Miss Davis. I don't suppose you remember me.
Ted Jones? Oh, you were one of Father's students, weren't you?
Yes, that's right. I'm a newspaper photographer now.
Oh.
Could we come in? I have a friend with me, a reporter.
Ellen, who is it?
Newspaper men, Dad. They want to see you.
Newspaper men, don't let them in. Send them away.
All right, come now, Professor. We just want to ask you a couple of questions, and but we can talk better inside, so... There. Now we can talk like friends.
Hey, but Dan, we weren't invited in.
How dare you force your way in here? Get out, both of you.
Please go.
Dan, come on. Professor Davis doesn't want to talk to us.
Keep your shirt on, Ted. Just a couple of questions, Professor. Now, isn't it true that hidden away here, you're creating artificial life?
I won't answer your questions. You just print more lies and ruin everything I'm trying to do.
Then you are creating artificial life, huh?
Young man,
tell me how far you've gotten. You figuring on springing an artificial man on us one of these days?
You fools. While I still struggle to create synthetic protoplasm, you talk of artificial men. Go before I throw you out.
Please go, please.
Come on, Dan, we're leaving.
Okay, we're going. Thanks for the interview, Professor. Read all about it in tomorrow's curtain.
The imbeciles. What do they know of science? All they wanted to cheapen my work. Make it a sensation for the headlines.
Please, Father, you must get control of yourself. They're gone now.
Yes, they are. They shan't interfere with my work. Well, come, we must adjust the heat. Ellen. Ellen.
Yes, Dad, what is it?
Ellen, the mixture's moving. This time I'm sure of it. The protoplasm. It's alive.
Say, Dan, this is something.
Huh?
Behind bolted doors deep in the woods, Professor Jonathan Davis toils night and day to create the world's first synthetic man. In a great vat lies a strange caricature of humanity. It has a head, arms, legs, a body, all of them fashioned of a pale green substance like gelatin.
Nice touch, huh?
Day by day, life stirs more strongly in this grotesque creation of science. Someday it may breathe, walk, eat. Now, look, Dan, aren't you going pretty strong?
Ah, forget it. The old man wants a story, doesn't he? Besides, the professor really is working on synthetic protoplasm. Maybe he has got a pale green monster in his bathtub. How do I know?
Okay, Dan, but if you're faking this story, I know nothing about it.
Faking it? You know I never fake stories.
Okay. We'll set this up and put it in the press wires. By noon tomorrow, 40 million people will be believing in Professor Davis' artificial monster.
By noon tomorrow, I'll be believing in it myself.
And so, all over the nation, people read the story and marveled and believed. While in the laboratory, hidden in the woods.
Oh, look. This time it is alive. It is. There can be no doubt of it.
The liquid is certainly moving, Dad.
Yes, see? And the protoplasm is breathing. Listen. You can hear it. I've created artificial life, Ellen.
Yes, I'm afraid so, Dad.
Afraid so? What do you mean? I'd like to see their faces out at the university when they hear of this.
It's grown since last night.
Yes, it has. The cells are multiplying like true protoplasm. That's why I transferred into this gas tank. Now I must add salt, acid, phosphorus.
Oh, that must be grocery boy. Excuse me, Dad. Yes? Oh, you...
Miss Davis, I hope that you'll let me apologize.
We have nothing to say to you.
Please don't shut the door before I explain.
Explain? There's nothing to explain. You force your way in here.
I came to apologize for that. Well, have you seen the morning papers?
We're not interested in the papers.
I'm afraid you'll be interested in this one. Look.
Oh, how outrageous.
That story of your father creating an artificial man is in every paper in the country, and I... Well, I feel I'm to blame, and... I want to make up for it. Can I come in so we can talk?
I guess you'd better, Mr. Jones. But Dad mustn't see this paper.
Oh, no, of course not. Won't he recognize me?
No, I don't think so. He's very nearsighted. I'll just tell him that you used to be one of his students.
And if you'll tell me the real truth, I'll try to get the paper to understand that Dan Duncan just made up his story.
Who is it, Ellen?
It's Ted Jones, Dad, one of your former students. He called to say hello.
Ted Jones. Oh, yes, of course. Organic chemistry, wasn't it, Jones?
Oh, yes, sir.
You're the one who kept breaking things. Oh, Jones, I have something here you'd be very interested in. Come and see.
Yes, sir.
Look.
That stuff in the tank. It seems to be alive.
It is alive. Synthetic protoplasm, my boy, the first ever created.
It's breathing.
Yes, and it's also growing. Life becomes stronger in it by the moment.
It's changing color, Dad. It's becoming a pale green.
Yes, growing fast. Very fast. I never dreamed that success would come so completely.
Hiya, Dad. I thought I'd find you here.
Why, Dan.
Dan Duncan himself. Hiya, Professor.
What do you want here?
Oh, just a few pictures. Shot of you in your lab, so far.
You have the nerve to come here after what you've done.
What I've done? You haven't seen anything yet. You and your father are big news now. You're going to be bigger.
Dan, you'd better go.
Better go? I don't follow you, kid.
I said you'd better go. There isn't any story here for you.
No story? Hey, what's eating you? Aren't you here to get a follow-up?
No, I came here to get the truth. Something you wouldn't be interested in.
Hey, what kind of talk is that?
Are you going to go, or will I have to throw you out?
Throw me out? Now listen, kid.
You want me to try it? All right, I will.
Okay, I'm going. Take your hands off it. But don't think you can get away with it. You're fired.
And that's all right with me.
As for you, Professor, you and your artificial man are going to be so well known in a day or two, you'll be getting offers from Hollywood.
And so, with each edition of the papers, the headlines grew bigger. The telegraph wires carried editorials condemning Professor Davis.
Is it a man or is it a monster Professor Davis has created? By his refusal to answer questions, the professor led us to suspect that...
Radio commentators spread the story to still more listening millions.
A strange substance like pale green gelatin. Now it moves and stirs in its confinement, seeking to escape. This strange creation of the temple.
And speakers denounced Professor Davis.
And I ask you, can science be permitted to venture into these forbidden realms unchecked? Who knows what horror may emerge from the laboratory if we are not careful? This mad thing must be stopped. Stop!
Who is it?
Oh, it's me, Ted.
Oh. Ted, did you have any trouble?
No, I got the medicine for your father, all right, and I brought the evening papers, too.
What did they say?
Pretty bad. They're all using Duncan's story, and he shot the works.
Ted, how can he do such a thing?
Well, he's a very plausible writer. He has a knack for making people believe him. If anybody accuses him of lying, he'll just say that he was misled by your father.
I see. I'm sorry you lost your job trying to help us.
That doesn't matter. I was about ready to quit anyway. How is your father now?
He seems to be sleeping quietly.
Well, I'm sticking around until he's all right again.
Well, you don't have to do that, Ted. I'll make out.
If I hadn't gotten into that fight with Duncan, your father might not have had his stroke.
No, it was just the excitement. It's his heart, but I know how to take care of him. But, Ted, I'm frightened.
About your father?
No, about it, the protoplasm.
Oh.
It's changed just since this morning.
It's changed? But how?
It's grown and... Well, come on, see for yourself.
All right. Helen, it seems to be taking on shape.
Yes, and it looks... Oh, Ted, it looks like green gelatin.
The way Duncan describes it.
And look, there's a vague shape like a head and the rough outline of arms and legs.
Oh, it isn't possible.
It shouldn't be, but it's happening. Something terrible is taking place inside that glass tank.
I don't understand. Your father certainly never intended to create this.
You know, all afternoon I've been wondering if Father really has created it.
I don't follow you, Ellen. Do you mean some outside force might be responsible?
Ted, you know the old saying, believe in a thing enough and it'll come true.
Yes, of course.
Well, I think that's true. The power of belief is a tremendous thing. People begin to believe that, well, that there's going to be a depression, and there is a depression.
But, Ellen...
They begin to believe that strangers and foreigners are enemies, and pretty soon they are enemies. They believe there's going to be a war, and war comes.
Well, that's true, but what are you getting at?
How many people are reading Dan Duncan's story this very minute, right now, while we're talking?
Well, hundreds of thousands, probably, all over the nation. Maybe a million.
And they all believe it's true.
Well, a good many of them. Yes, Dan has a genius for being plausible.
Then don't you see, Ted? Here in this laboratory is the necessary material for a monster. And out there are all those people believing in such a fantastic monster.
You mean a million people are thinking... life into the protoplasm.
Yes, Ted. I know it sounds fantastic, but that monster was never created by my father. Dan Duncan created it when he wrote about it.
Well, if that's true...
There's no other answer. Over there in that glass tank is something that's alive only because millions of people believe it's alive.
No, it is alive. There's no telling what it may become. Ellen, we have to destroy it.
It'll break Dad's heart, but we can't let it live.
Well, it's growing bigger by the minute. We've got to get rid of it now before it grows any larger.
There's acid in those bottles there. That'll destroy it.
All right.
Yeah, I see. Here. Just as soon as I get it open, it'll take care of the creature.
Be careful, Ted. It can burn you dreadfully.
Ellen, what's happening? What are you doing?
Dad, darling, you're supposed to be in bed.
I'm feeling better. I wanted to see how the protoplasm was.
Please go back to bed, Dot. Your heart.
Oh, my heart's all right, but I must be sure. Oh, it changed. Taken on a form.
Yes, Professor, a monstrous, unnatural form.
It has a head, arms, legs. But it can't have. It's only protoplasm. It's all impossible.
Unfortunately, it's true. I can't explain now, but, well, we've got to destroy it.
No, the culmination of my life's work. You can't destroy it.
We must, then.
No, I won't let you.
It's the only thing to do.
Professor, look at it. It's crawling around inside the tank now. It's trying to climb out.
But it can't be dangerous. It's just harmless protoplasm.
Dad, Ted is right. You've got to let us kill it.
It's just protoplasm, I tell you.
It was just protoplasm.
Stand back, Professor. I'm going to empty this acid on.
No, you mustn't. I will... Dad!
Professor Davis! Dad! Davis, look out! What did that? tank. He fell against the tank and broke it.
Is he hurt, Ted?
Oh, I'll see.
Oh. Ted, the prototype is moving toward him.
I've got to get him out of here. I have his arms. Quick, you take his feet.
I am. Okay. Oh, hurry up, Ted. He's trying to crawl out of the tank. I've
got to get him upstairs. Can you manage it?
Yes, yes. Keep on.
All right, easy now, easy. All right, just a little farther. All right, one more step, Alan. There. Now, here's the landing. We can put him down here. Now, easy. Easy. There.
Ted, I can't find his pulse.
Let me try.
Dad? Ted's no use. He's gone.
I'm afraid so.
His heart failed him. I've always known it would someday. Ted, down in the laboratory.
Yes, it's moving. Look, it's gotten out of the tank and it's crawling all around the lab.
And the only way out is down those stairs and through the lab. We're trapped up here.
Look, I'm not saying it isn't a good story, Dan. It's a whale of a story. But McGuire wants some pictures.
Pictures? How can I get pictures? I can't even get into the place.
I don't care. Just get them.
You want me to bust in the window, I suppose.
Let your conscience be your guide. And I know you haven't got a conscience. But make it fast. I want those shots for the late morning edition.
All right. I'm going. With a camera in one hand and a bunch of skeleton keys in the other.
It's looking for food, Ted.
Yes, and it's getting frantic. Look how it crawls back and forth through the lab. It's been doing that for an hour now.
Look how enormous it's grown. Suppose it tries to come up these stairs to this balcony.
Well, it may not. It has no eyes, no intelligence. It's just protoplasm, blindly seeking food.
But suppose it does try to come up the stairs.
Well, then we'll stop it. I have the gun here that I found in your father's desk. I'll use that on it.
I don't think it would even feel a bullet.
Well, we'll see. There. It's on the other side of the lab now, in plain sight. Stand back there, and I'll try a couple of shots. I hit it.
It didn't even notice.
No. Oh, if we could only reach those bottles of acid, that would fix it.
But every time we've started down the stairs, it's rushed over to wait for us.
I feel the vibration of it. I'm going to take one more try.
Ted, please be careful.
Yes, I will. I'll tiptoe down one step at a time. Perhaps I can avoid attracting its attention this time. What's it doing now?
Lying quiet. As if it was listening.
Only lie quiet a few seconds more. I'm almost at the bottom.
Ted, quick! It's coming this way!
No, no, wait.
Oh, Ted, it almost got
yes,
you.
Yes, it did touch my foot, but I wasn't interested in getting any better acquainted.
What are we going to do now?
I don't know, Ellen. If we could only reach that acid. Hey, I wonder if it would make any difference if we turned out the light. They can be controlled from up here, can't they?
Oh, yes, but what good would that do?
Well, in the dark, it might become inactive. Some elementary organisms are like that.
Well, we can try it. Okay, I'll turn out the light. There. Pitch black now. But it's still moving around.
Well, just wait a moment. Listen.
What is it?
I heard footsteps outside the house.
Footsteps?
Just listen.
Someone coming in the front door. Yeah, there's someone in the lab.
But who would... Good heavens, oh.
Duncan, is that you, Dan? Dan, answer me. Is that you? Get out. Get out. Quick.
Okay, kid. Keep your shirt on. I'm going as soon as I get a picture of this joint.
But, Dan, you don't understand. It's loose. Get away. Quick. Ellen, turn on that light.
Yes, kid.
You can't scare me, kid. I came to get a picture, and I'm going to get it.
Run, man, run! Fred, help me! Ellen, don't look.
We've got to save
him! Quick, Ellen, the ass!
Hurry, Ed, hurry!
Here, you take this bottle. I'll take one. We'll break them over it, understand?
Yes, sir.
Well, come on, then.
He's gone. Duncan's gone.
It's covering him. Eating him. Ellen, throw your bottle now. Don't fuel it that quick, it's enough to kill anything.
acid is burning into it. It's killing it. Ellen is dying.
It's not moving anymore.
It's not breathing either. We've killed it.
It's starting to melt away. It's dissolving.
Now that it's dead, it's turning back into the liquid it started from. A substance that the belief of millions gave an unreal life to.
It's gone back to a liquid now. There's nothing left of it.
It's gone as if it had never existed.
Except for Dan Duncan. Okay.
There's nothing we can do for him, Ellen. He's dead. He created the monster. It's killed him.
In search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
And you are listening to Radio Masterpieces on Valley 103.1, serving Duval, Carnation, and Redmond Ridge. The door is slowly closing for Radio Masterpieces, but be sure and tune in again next week from 9 to 10 p.m. to listen to more wonderful mysteries from the 1940s and 50s. This is Bruce Kaplan signing off. Radio Masterpieces is a Seattle Miracle Incorporated production.